Welcome to Base by Base, a papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. You know, usually when we think about developing a single diagnostic biomarker, like a biological red flag that tells a doctor exactly what disease you have, it's a monumental, grueling effort.
Oh, absolutely. It can take years of lab work.
Right. Years of work, millions of dollars. And it requires researchers to essentially dig through infinite molecular haystacks, running these complex statistical models, just hoping to find a viable signal.
And the reality of that process is brutal. I mean, less than 1% of published biomarkers ever actually get FDA approval.
Less than 1%. That is wild.
It's a massive bottleneck in modern medicine. The human body produces just vast amounts of data, right? And distilling all that transcriptomic noise down to a reliable clinical test requires profound computational and biological expertise.
So this brings up a pretty wild idea for this deep dive. What if we could just hand that entire molecular haystack to a large language model and say, you know, find the needle, write the code, and build me a diagnostic test?
It sounds a bit like science fiction.
Right. Like, how could this change the speed at which we diagnose complex, mysterious diseases? I mean, we use these AIs to synthesize text or fix syntax errors in a script.
Routine tasks, mostly.
Exactly. But asking them to autonomously write code that diagnoses a human being from raw, messy biological data, that feels like a massive leap. I'm highly skeptical that a language model can act as a fully functional bioinformatician.
Well, that skepticism is entirely warranted, and it's exactly the boundary being tested in the research we're analyzing today. We are looking at a direct test of whether artificial intelligence can transition from simple language generation into autonomous scientific discovery.
Before we get into the mechanisms of how they actually tested this, we need to acknowledge the architects of the study. Today, we celebrate the work of Hunter Gaudio, Andrew Bliss, and the team at the Meinig School of Biomedical Engineering at Cornell University, who have advanced our understanding of integrating AI into diagnostic biomarker discovery.
So, to evaluate what that team achieved, we first need to define the specific haystack they are feeding into these AI models. In this deep dive, the biological data in question is plasma cell-free RNA, or cfRNA.
Okay, cfRNA. Let's make sure we ground this in the biology for a second. When cells in the body die or undergo severe stress, they don't just vanish.
Right, they burst.
Right, they burst and release fragments of their RNA into the bloodstream. So looking at cfRNA is essentially like analyzing the shredded documents floating in the blood to figure out exactly what tissues are injured.
Yeah, or what specific proteins those cells were trying to manufacture right before they died.
Exactly.
And that's a highly accurate way to visualize it. It gives us a minimally invasive, real-time transcriptomic snapshot of the entire body. But because it's a mixture of fragments from multiple organ systems, it is incredibly noisy data.
Like a giant puzzle with a bunch of missing pieces.
Exactly. So to test if an AI could actually filter through that noise and find a true diagnostic signal, the researchers set up a calibration curve of biological knowledge using three distinct clinical cohorts.
They didn't just give the AI one target. They created a gradient of difficulty.
Precisely. The first cohort focused on Kawasaki disease, or KD, versus MISC.
And those are both hyperinflammatory conditions in kids.
Yeah, two closely related conditions. They share very similar overlapping clinical presentations, like high fevers, rashes, systemic inflammation.
But MISC is specifically a post-COVID syndrome.
Exactly. Differentiating them at the molecular level is challenging, but absolutely critical for directing the right immunosuppressive therapies.
Ah, okay. So you're establishing a baseline. Two known, relatively well-documented conditions with a localized inflammatory response.
Right. Then the second cohort scales up to a massive global health challenge, which is tuberculosis, or TB, compared to symptomatic respiratory controls.
And TB represents a vast diagnostic gap worldwide.
A huge gap. Millions of people go undiagnosed annually because traditional sputum-based tests require the patient to produce a high-quality sample.
Which is often really difficult, especially for children.
Exactly, or for extrapulmonary cases. So a reliable blood-based biomarker for TB is kind of a holy grail in global health.
And because TB is one of the oldest and most studied infectious diseases on the planet, there's just a massive footprint of data in the scientific literature.
Mountains of it.
Which brings us to the third cohort, the ultimate challenge, right? MECFS, myalgic encephalomyelitis, or chronic fatigue syndrome.
Compared to healthy sedentary controls, yes. And MECFS is defined entirely by clinical symptoms, like post-exertional malaise.
With zero validated molecular biomarkers.
Absolutely zero. It remains a complete biological mystery.
Which makes this a brilliant experimental design. If you want to know what an AI is actually capable of, you can't just test it on TB, where the answers are essentially already in the back of the book.
Exactly. By using this gradient, they test the limits of the AI's knowledge synthesis. Can it only regurgitate the consensus on TB, or can it genuinely discover novel biology in a mystery like MECFS?
That is the core question. To find out, they pitted six state-of-the-art models against each other, right?
I did. They used OpenAI's O3 and GPT-4o, Anthropic's Claude Opus 4 and 3.7 Sonnet, and Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro and Gemini 2.0 Flash. And they evaluated them across two highly complex tasks. Task one was feature selection.
Okay, so they provided the AI with a prompt and a list of genes found in the cfRNA data.
Yeah, asking it to select the top 200 most predictive genes for a diagnostic panel.
So just picking the best 200 variables out of thousands of shredded transcriptomic fragments seems straightforward enough.
Well, task two is where the rigor dramatically increases. It was end-to-end automation. They gave the AIs the raw cfRNA count matrices.
Teeny giant spreadsheets of numerical biological data.
Exactly. And instructed them to build a machine learning classifier entirely from scratch, train it on the data, and predict the diagnoses on a hidden test data set.
Wait, let's pause and appreciate what that entails. We aren't asking a chatbot to write a summary paragraph. We are asking it to operate as a senior data scientist.
That's fully autonomously.
It has to ingest a numerical matrix, write a Python script, choose an algorithm like a random forest, handle data normalization, perform cross-validation to tune the hyperparameters, and then execute performance reporting.
And if the matrix dimensions don't align, it has to read its own traceback error in the terminal and rewrite its own function to fix the bug.
That is wild. That self-correction loop is the defining feature of autonomous coding agents.
It is. However, you'd expect these advanced models to execute this flawlessly, but the reality was quite different. Prompt adherence was a significant hurdle right out of the gate in the first task.
Right, here's where it gets really interesting. The hallucinations here reveal a profound limitation in how these models operate. GPT-4o and Gemini 2.0 Flash hallucinated wildly.
They really did.
When asked to pick 200 genes from the provided human cfRNA list, they just ignored the instructions and started returning protein aliases, retroviruses, and entirely non-human genes.
Which totally exposes the danger of using a language model for raw biological science without rigorous guardrails.
Because at its core, an LLM is a token predictor, not a biological oracle. It sees the word gene and calculates the statistical probability of the next sequence of letters based on its training data.
Exactly. If a viral gene was mentioned frequently next to a human inflammatory marker in some random paper it read, it just spits out the viral gene.
Completely oblivious to the fact that it's trying to diagnose a human being.
Yeah, that fundamental lack of biological grounding is why generative AI requires immense benchmarking in a medical context. It is worth noting, however, that the newer reasoning models demonstrated significant progress.
All right, OpenAI O3, Gemini 2.5 Pro, and Anthropic's Claude 3.7 Sonnet followed the strict parsing instructions incredibly well.
They did. So filtering out the models that failed basic instructions, let's look at the models that actually built the 200 gene panels. To know if the AI found the right biological signals, the researchers had to compare the AI's selections against a gold standard.
So they compared the LLM panels against two baselines. The first was a completely random selection of genes, just to ensure the AI was doing better than chance.
Right. And the second was the traditional gold standard in transcriptomics, differential gene expression, or DGE.
Let's quickly define DGE, because it's crucial to understand what the AI is competing against. Differential gene expression isn't a machine learning algorithm, it's rigorous classical statistics.
It's pure math.
Right. A bioinformatician uses mathematical models to calculate exactly which genes are significantly upregulated or downregulated between the sick patients and the healthy controls.
Applying strict p-value corrections to rule out false positives.
Exactly. And when we look at the first cohort, KD versus MISC, that pure math won.
It did. The LLM panels easily beat random guessing, proving they were extracting real biological signal. but they could not beat the predictive performance of the traditional DGE statistics.
But the biology the AI uncovered was still highly relevant, right?
Right.
For KD and MISC, the AIs accurately zeroed in on canonical immune pathways, picking genes heavily involved in IL-6 and NFKB signaling.
Yes, these are massive, well-known inflammatory cascades.
So the AI didn't beat the math, but it proved it understood the biological assignment. It knew it was looking at an inflammatory disease and picked the genes that drive inflammation.
A solid demonstration of knowledge retrieval, but the tuberculosis cohort is where the results become truly disruptive. For TB, the AI panels matched, and in several configurations actually exceeded the predictive performance of the human-guided DGE statistics.
Wow, and it did this by leveraging specific historical knowledge. OpenAI O3 and Gemini 2.5 Pro independently selected a gene called GBP5.
Yes, they did.
I've seen that specific gene in the literature. That is a highly validated, well-documented biomarker for active tuberculosis, driven by the body's interferon response to the pathogen.
Exactly. The AI didn't just stumble onto GBP5. It read the historical consensus of TB research, recognized its importance, and applied it to the raw cfRNA data perfectly.
It synthesized decades of global infectious disease research to optimize its selection. That's incredible.
It is. But then we arrive at the final cohort, ME/CFS. And for this disease, the AIs completely failed to beat the standard DGE statistics.
They only managed to achieve marginal gains over random guessing, struggling to find any cohesive transcriptomic signal.
Which perfectly illustrates the limitation of the technology. The AI is essentially a mirror reflecting the current state of human knowledge on the internet.
Tuberculosis has mountains of published research for the AI to train on, so it excels. ME/CFS is a neglected disease with virtually no molecular consensus in the literature.
The AI cannot synthesize what isn't there. If the underlying mechanism of the disease isn't published, the language model cannot magically derive it just from looking at gene names.
The language models are incredible synthesizers, but they are not engines of de novo biological discovery without statistical grounding.
Exactly. That brings us to task two, the end-to-end automation, where we asked the AI to act as that full-fledged bioinformatician. Did they manage to write the Python code, tune the models, and predict the diagnoses without human intervention?
Well, for most of them, the pipeline just collapsed. Gemini 2.5 Pro frequently timed out or threw terminal errors and couldn't finish the execution consistently.
The complexity of managing the matrix dimensions, handling the data scaling, and optimizing the hyperparameters was just too much.
Ultimately, only OpenAI O3 and Claude Opus 4 could actually finish the job from start to finish.
And how did their automated classifiers perform on the hidden clinical test data? For the KD versus MISC cohort, OpenAI O3 autonomously built a classifier that achieved an 86.7% accuracy rate.
That essentially matched the traditional human-built statistical pipeline. It executed the entire data science workflow with the same level of accuracy as a human expert.
But that success didn't translate across the board. In the TB cohort, OpenAI O3 underperformed, hitting 76.3% accuracy compared to the human benchmark of 82.6%.
And for ME/CFS, it failed to improve upon the baseline at all, basically stagnating around a 57% accuracy rate. Claude Opus 4 performed significantly worse across all three cohorts.
While it didn't sweep the board, the fact that an AI could autonomously construct a functional diagnostic pipeline is a paradigm shift. But there was a specific experiment within this task that yielded a highly counterintuitive result. The researchers tested the AIs using two different types of prompts, disease-naive and disease-informed.
Meaning, they either completely hid the clinical context and just handed the AI the numbers, or they explicitly told the AI, hey, you are looking at cfRNA data for tuberculosis.
Exactly. When they use the disease-informed prompts, you would naturally expect the predictive accuracy to increase.
Right, because it has more context.
But it didn't. Statistically, providing the medical context resulted in absolutely no significant improvement in the model's performance.
Hold on, I have to push back on that. How is that mathematically possible? If I tell an advanced reasoning AI to look for tuberculosis, it has terabytes of TB pathology, immune response pathways, and transcriptomic papers embedded in its neural network weights.
Oh, definitely.
You're telling me it just ignored all of that medical context when building the classifier?
It didn't necessarily ignore it, but it couldn't utilize it at that stage of the pipeline. Once the AI is tasked with writing a machine learning classifier, like a random forest in scikit-learn, the process becomes a pure mathematical optimization problem.
Ah, I see.
The text prompt doesn't alter the underlying logic of the algorithm fitting a curve to the data. The AI succeeded or failed in building these classifiers purely based on its fundamental Python coding and data science skills, not its medical domain knowledge.
It was acting as a software engineer executing a script, not as a diagnostic physician evaluating a patient. That makes perfect sense. The biological knowledge is useful for selecting the genes in task one. But once you move to task two and start optimizing loss functions in code, knowing it's TB doesn't change how a matrix multiplies. So, synthesizing all of this, the token hallucinations, the massive win using historical knowledge in TB feature selection, and the harsh realities of end-to-end classification, what are the tangible implications for the future of clinical diagnostics?
The primary takeaway is that while language models are surprisingly adept at extracting biologically meaningful signals, traditional human-guided statistical workflows still deliver the highest predictive performance overall.
They still win.
They do. Furthermore, this benchmarking highlighted a very specific, dangerous limitation in how LLMs execute these pipelines. When the AIs ran the end-to-end automation, they generally only outputted discrete class predictions.
Let's explore why that is a massive problem in medicine. A discrete prediction means the AI simply outputs a binary text response, class 1 or class 0. Yes, the patient has TB, or no, the patient does not.
Right. But in clinical diagnostics, a binary yes or no hides the math. A doctor needs a probability distribution.
They need to know if the model is 99.9% confident in that diagnosis, or if it is hovering at like 51% confidence.
Precisely. Because the AI failed to naturally provide those nuanced probability distributions, the researchers were severely restricted from calculating deeper, critical performance metrics, such as the area under the receiver operating characteristic curve, or ROC-AUC.
Without ROC-AUC, you cannot evaluate the trade-off between false positives and false negatives. If a TB test has a high false positive rate, you end up putting healthy people on aggressive, toxic antibiotics for months.
And if it has a high false negative rate, you send a highly contagious patient back into the community. You cannot build a safe medical test without that probability spread.
And compounding that issue is the persistent looming threat of data leakage. These language models are pre-trained on a vast, opaque scrape of the internet.
It is incredibly difficult to definitively prove that the AI didn't just memorize a specific cfRNA dataset or a related transcriptomic research paper during its massive training phase, which would give it an unfair artificial advantage in these diagnostic benchmarks.
It's the equivalent of taking a rigorous open book exam when you've already memorized the professor's answer key.
Yeah.
You can't be 100% certain the AI is actually reasoning through the biology rather than just recalling a matrix it saw in 2024.
Exactly.
So if letting the AI run the entire laboratory pipeline end to end is fundamentally unsafe right now, what is the actual path forward for this technology in genomics?
The most viable path forward is a highly integrated hybrid solution. We must stop viewing this as AI versus traditional statistics and start designing workflows that combine their respective strengths.
Use traditional rigorous statistics like differential gene expression to handle the pure math.
Yes. The stats filter out the noise, ensure mathematical accuracy, and calculate the vital p-values. Then, we deploy the language models to synthesize the vast mountains of medical literature.
Prioritizing the most biologically plausible and actionable biomarker candidates from that statistically filtered list.
Exactly. Let the statistics handle the mathematical optimization, and let the artificial intelligence read the library.
That preserves the interpretability and safety of classical data science, while massively accelerating the biological discovery phase.
It fundamentally reshapes the bioinformatic workflow. Large language models can effectively synthesize existing biomedical knowledge and autonomously execute diagnostic code, serving as powerful accelerators for biomarker discovery in well-studied diseases like tuberculosis.
However, they still struggle with novel conditions, indicating that hybrid approaches combining human-led statistical filtering with AI curation will be the most effective, safe path forward.
Without a doubt.
Which leaves us with a profound concept to consider. We are moving from an era where the bottleneck was finding the biological signal, to an era where the challenge is learning how to properly constrain and query an AI to validate that signal. What does this mean for the future of personalized medicine, when a hybrid system might soon be able to synthesize the entire history of human biology and write a custom, statistically validated diagnostic test from a single drop of your blood in just 5 minutes?
It's a fascinating thought.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, bass by bass.
Midnight on the bench, just humming fluorescent light. Clear plasma whispers turning numbers into sight. I ask the silent pages what the signal wants to be. A handful of small names to map what we can't see. Some guesses land like lightning, some dissolve like air. Hold the rules a little tighter, keep the outputs fair. Measure what repeats, let the evidence run. If the story's real, it survives the second sun. We're finding panels in the noise, in the bloodstream's faint refrain. Immune fire signatures that rise and fall like rain. Not magic, just a compass when the ground is hard to read. Human hands plus careful math, planting rigor like a seed. Keep circling back, the sirens of the flare. Interferon echoes NF kappa in the air. Sometimes it nails the trail where the textbooks already glow. Sometimes it slips on shadows where the public data's low. So tie it to constraints, let the baselines draw the line. Validate in other mornings, not just once in a time. When a gene list drifts and changes, don't pretend it's close enough. Make it earn its certainty, make reproducibility tough. Yeah, we're finding panels in the noise, but we're not alone tonight. Hybrid minds and clean pipelines, turning doubt into light. Take the best of what it knows and the best of what we prove, and the diagnosis moves. Yeah, the diagnosis moves.